Say that. Where we blessed hundreds, we will bless thousands. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me last week and said, and we shall bless millions in the new manifestation of the Spirit. Because, you know, we're bumping up against the wall here, right? Of the new manifestation of the Spirit. It's going to happen. It can't not happen. We've been sowing to the Spirit. We've been believing God. We've been praying. We've been fasting. We've been doing all the things that we know to do. And the Spirit of God hears. And He pays attention. He looks at you. You know that, right? He sees. He's the God who sees. Jehovah Jireh, that's what it means. He sees. He foresees. And provides. But it, the reason He provides is He foresaw you. It means He looks at you. Ha ha ha. When you fast, He's looking at you. Remember those three things that Jesus told us. Mm-hmm. He said what? You give your alms, mm-hmm. and you what? You pray, and you what? And do what? And you fast. Why did He say those three things? Because those are things that somehow get the attention of God, the Holy Ghost. He likes it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this any good?
Yes.
All right. Anyway, I just wanted to share that again. Is this where it ends? Does it just end at that 130? And we have 39 subscribers on Vimeo. Again, that I don't pay that much attention to, but maybe I should pay more attention to it. Right? 39 subscribers there, 130 subscribers on, you know, so you may go, oh, well, we only have a few people in the room. That's not the point. I remember being like, did I share this last week? I don't remember. I talk so much. Anyway, so I remember being at Kenneth Hagin's prayer school, and we go in there, we pray in the afternoons. Most people had other things to do, but we go in there and we pray for 2 hours in other tongues. Say, pray in other tongues,
pray in other tongues.
For 2 hours. Right? We do that. We go in there consistently day after day, and we learned how to flow with the Spirit in that environment and under that anointing. Are you here?
Yes.
And then one day Kenneth Hagin came in. We're like, hey, what are you doing here? Now he came in, and the lights came on, and everybody got quiet, and we all sat in our seats. We just watched him, and he recorded a series on I believe it was Spirit, Soul, and Body. But it's one of those series that I was there at, and there was only 20, 30, 40, 50 at the most people in that room. And that series went into book form. That series went on, at that time, cassette tapes. You've heard of those, right? You know what that is? It's like, yeah, the cassette tape went on to cassette. He sold millions of those things and millions of the book all over the world. Where did it start? With a group of people that wanted to hear it. You understand? I remember being in California, and I was at the Tonight Show back when Jay Leno was doing it. I don't know what's going on with that now, but anyway, I was there, and there was about 200 people in the audience. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And it was interesting to see what the environment, but we realized when we got in there that we weren't really an audience. We were part of what was going on. In fact, they said, okay, you know, they had a guy come out, and he goes, okay, now everybody, you know, laugh really loud. So we all laughed. What they're doing, they're trying to check the mics. So when the applause sign came up, what do you do when the applause sign comes up? Well, they won't put you on there. They put us on the front row because we happened to be looking nice at that time. But what happened? We're the Tonight Show, 200 people. There was only 200 people there. Is that sad? No, you can still find those things online. How many people watched it that night? According to, oh, who are these people, these media companies? Millions of people. A couple million people. Mm-hmm. Yet there were only 200 there. Are you here?
Yes.
So, you know, don't discount. And that's why, pray with me right now. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I thank you. Monte Kistachos, pray in the Spirit. Bote, Kustabala, Tikino, Londes, Bade, Do, Breve, Digik, Soch. Close to us. Anoint us that we may say the things that need to be said for that person and the other one, so that they may be expanded and their lives may change. We thank you for them. We plead for them in the blood of Jesus, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anyway, the reach goes a lot farther, and you can say, in my living room, this went and blessed this many people. Are you here? So this isn't insignificant. I guess that's what I want you to get across. And we can't take it as if it's insignificant. We play, we sing, we do whatever, we preach like I'm preaching to thousands. Why? Because the reality is, we are. And pay attention like you're believing for people, 1,000 people or more. A one shall put 1,000 to flight, two to 10,000 to flight, keep that going. Pretty soon you got your cover in the earth. Are you here?
Yes.
Anyway, so I was encouraged by it. Well, that was good. Maybe I'll share it again next week. Anyway, so we're blessing people by the hundreds. You understand that even right now. Right now, doing nothing different than what we've been doing, but that's not where it ends. We're just going to, we're going to obey God. We're going to increase. We're going to do whatever God tells us to do. And we're going to bless millions of people. All right, so Joshua. You all right if I get into the word? You okay if I take my time? Do you have anywhere to go?
No.
All right. Joshua. Deuteronomy, we found that before, right? Go right after that. Go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to read? Or do you got a lot of stuff underlined there? Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. Something right after verse 14.
Okay.
15. You see that?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, if you found it, let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are God in the earth today. I worship you. I thank you that you wrote this word, and I ask you to speak it to people, make it concrete in their heart, make it alive to them, and quicken us according to your word and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, yeah. Glory be to God. So, Joshua chapter 24, let's look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you know, some people, it does seem evil to them to serve the Lord. I know people, you know, you tell them what you do or what they, you know, they really don't understand what I do. So I try not to get into it. But, you know, if you tell them you're a pastor or you're in the ministry or something, they think that's somehow evil. According to their worldview, that's just, oh, are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's certainly not my message. But anyway, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you. Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
It says, choose you this day. Was that tomorrow?
No, that's
today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Who does the choosing? Mm-hmm. Well, God chooses who he wants, and then he knows because he has a long beard. No, you choose. He said so right here. I like these kind of verses of scripture because then I'm not relying on somebody else to do something for me. I can choose. Say, I can choose.
I can choose.
It says, choose you this day whom you were. There's no wiggle room here, is there? Choose you this day whom you will serve. And the word serve here, we know, can also be in translated worship. Right? Because part of serving God is worshiping God. Are you here?
Yes.
Well, you know a lot of these things. A lot of people online might not know these until they go and listen to other tapes. But we know who's the Lord your God. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your father served or that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, say me,
me.
And my house.
My.
We will serve the Lord. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, we know who the Lord is in our day. You should know this anyway. He's the Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth today. And who are you going to worship? Who should you worship? The Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. So, but first you must know that who the Lord is, right? Now the Lord is that Spirit. Who's the living God? Most people don't have a problem if I say it that way. If I worship the living God, they're all, okay, well, I get that. Well, who's the living God? He is the Holy Ghost. Bible specifically says it. Are you here? So we must, number one, know who the Lord, if we're going to choose today to serve or worship the Lord, wouldn't it be good to know who the Lord is?
Yes.
So we can worship him. It's not rocket science.
No.
Or brain surgery.
No.
Sometimes you wonder. We must know who the Lord is, and we need to know how we got here. Do you know how you got here? How do we get to this dispensation where the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today? Jesus brought us here and sent the another, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are. We'll get into most of this. So if I use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, I am choosing to worship God in the earth today. Nobody made me say those words. You make yourself say those words. You're choosing to say those words. You got to know who the Lord is, the Holy Ghost, and then you're going to choose this day to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
The words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, are spoken in this house. Now, can you see that according to this? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve or worship the Lord. Say, as for me and my house,
we shall
worship the Lord. So you in your house, if you use the words, this is not insignificant. If you use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, in your house, are you here? Then you are choosing to let the Holy Ghost into your house. Does this make sense? It's not insignificant. Now, this affords you many benefits. One of which is that Psalms 34:7, I guess you could go there, why not? Psalms 34. You worshiping the Holy Ghost in your house, or serving the Holy Ghost in your house, affords you many benefits. Psalm 34, did you find it? Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him or worship him. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And what? And delivers them. So you choose this day to worship the Lord your God. How do you do that? With your mouth, you open up and you say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You and your house. And then it says here that it says the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him or worship him,
mm-hmm.
and delivers them. Is that a benefit?
Mm-hmm.
What's it a benefit of? You and your house. I guess I'm trying to get you to understand that this is not insignificant, and God sees it. He sees that you have chosen him and worship him. Remember back in Joshua, I was talking about the gods in their day, plenty of different gods all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't think really that much about it in our culture, in the United States anyway. We don't think about, oh, worshiping some, but a lot of people do. They're worshiping this god and that god, right?
Mm-hmm.
We choose to worship God in our house. As for me and my house, we worship God. Now, what's the temple of God? Who's the temple of God? You're the temple of God. You're the house of God. You choose to worship God. How do you do it? You choose to use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
There's a lot more benefit to this than most people would give it credit. I hope you're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Ghost delights in that. So my body is his house. He says, me and my house shall worship the Lord. Okay, we're talking about a physical house, sure, but we're also talking about your physical house that you live in and he lives in, and you say, I worship you, Holy Ghost, out of your house mouth. That's the front porch. The words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, are spoken in this house. Say that. The words,
I worship you,
Holy Ghost,
are spoken
in this
house.
You chose to do it. Nobody forced you to do it, did they? Well, yeah, you kind of instructed us, and then I had to say it. Well, good. But it's going to open up, and I hope that, you know, as we go through this message today, and that we're kind of in the middle of a series here, where you're going to see that there's a lot more benefits to that. A lot of things begin to happen. Did you hear that? A lot of things begin to happen as you worship the Holy Ghost, who is the Lord your God, and you chose this day to do it. You see?
Yes.
So anyway, so for the last 2 weeks, we've been on a series about unveiling the Holy Ghost, or knowing the Holy Ghost. Say unveiling,
unveiling.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
What does that mean? That means we're starting to see, we take the veil off, mm-hmm. right? So we can see who he is. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, when they pull the curtain away, you can see who the man behind the curtain is.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is the man behind the curtain.
Yes.
Right? Second Peter, might as well go there. You're all good page flippers. Second Peter. It's right after First Peter. Right towards the end of your Bible, real close to Revelation. Second Peter, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 20. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Knowing this last, is that what it says?
No.
No, knowing this first. What if the Bible says you should know something first? Probably should go there first, right? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here we have in your Bible is something that we should know first, that these scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
These scriptures are inspired by the Holy Ghost. He was saying them.
Yes.
And who is he saying them to? Saying them to us. So when they speak to you, who's speaking to you? The Holy Ghost. Emphatically, knowing this first, who's the one speaking to you? So he, the Holy Ghost, is the writer of the scriptures. Isn't this fun? We having fun yet?
Mm-hmm.
He's the writer of the scriptures, and he is therefore revealing himself through chapter and verse. We're talking about unveiling and knowing the Holy Ghost through chapter and verse. We can see his will, we can see what he's like, we can see what he doesn't like, what he likes. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
He's revealing himself through chapter and verse. And we've seen that he speaks, he teaches, he leads, he anoints, he empowers, he quickens. Is it too fast for you? He quickens, he saves, he heals, he delivers, he helps. I could go on and on, because these are all verses of scripture of things he prospers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He does all of these things. Who? The Holy Ghost, who's revealing himself. Now, most people don't see it that way, because they didn't know this first. So they went someplace else first, and they got all tripped up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't know what's going on. And then you mention this, oh, the Holy Ghost, he's God on the earth today, and he wrote this Bible for you. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
It should have been first. And so we saw that 2 weeks ago. See how I'm reviewing? So he does all these things. He speaks. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. Have you ever read that?
Mm-hmm.
Book of Revelation. He speaks. He's saying things. He's anointing people. He's setting them in office. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Who did? That's the Holy Ghost revealing himself. So we're talking about unveiling the Holy Ghost, who he is. Then we see in Galatians chapter 3. Why do you go over these things? Because people need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to hear it with their inner ear, and not just gloss over it. I've heard that before. Well, most people haven't heard it before. Mm-hmm. So they need to hear it more than once. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing. Most likely you didn't get it the first time. How many of you can attestify to that? Mm-hmm. I didn't get it the first time. Galatians chapter 3, did I say that?
Yes.
Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Before, remember the other one, it said this first. You need to learn this first. And it goes, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit. So what's he talking about? Receiving the Spirit. Mm-hmm. By the works of the law, or by the hearing. Say hearing.
Hearing.
Hearing of faith. So in order to receive the Spirit, you got to hear about him.
Yes.
Right? And so we're unveiling him by talking about him, unveiling him, so you can receive him. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having, what's the next word?
Begun
in the Spirit. And so now 2 weeks ago we talked about that the Holy Ghost, that's where you begin. You have to begin with him. That's the beginning. Mm-hmm. Say, that's the beginning.
That's the beginning.
That's where Paul here says, having begun in the Spirit. He says, you've begun in the Spirit. Who are you now made perfect by the flesh? The Amplified Bible says, by dependence on the flesh. No, you're not made perfect by dependence on the flesh. You're made perfect by continuing and depending on the Spirit. You began with the Holy Ghost, and you continue and depend on the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So we saw that this was the beginning. Peter called it, we won't go there. Peter called it the beginning in Acts chapter 11, verse 15. Jesus called it the beginning in John 20, 22. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That was the beginning. Mm-hmm. And Paul here in Galatians 3, verse 3 says, having begun in the Spirit. We begin with the Spirit. Wouldn't it be good to know that since we began with the Spirit, and this is also a verse of scripture, him revealing this to us, wouldn't it be good to know that first it is his will for us? Isn't this good?
Yes.
All right, then we went on to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Where do you think we're gonna go here? One of those, right? 16, 17, 18. Let's read those. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. What would that be? Someone taking the veil away. Wouldn't that be unveiling? That's what we're talking about. When it turns to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. Well, let's look at what happens in verse 17. When the veil is taken away, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, or the Spirit is Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. So, having the veil taken away and knowing who the Spirit of the Lord is, and having the Spirit Lord in your life, there will be liberty and freedom. Is this making sense?
Yes.
All right. So then we read on here. He goes and verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Lord, who must it be? The Holy Ghost. The glory of the Holy Ghost are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here, the Spirit must first be revealed, and then we're changed into his image. Are you seeing this? We can't be changed into his image until he's revealed to be God in the earth today. Are you seeing this? I think I better move along here real quick. Then I said in Esther chapter 4 verse 14, we won't go there because that might be hard to find. Esther, it says you are come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I'm telling you, you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. What time is this? What time is it? It's the Holy Ghost time. It's the Holy Ghost dispensation. This message, and I have the message of the Holy Ghost. Are you here? And we've come into the earth for such a time as this. We got to wrap things up, right? This is the end. I hope you know that. So I am unveiling the Spirit of God. Whether you like it or not, whether you like me or not, that's what I'm doing, is I'm unveiling, I'm taking the veil off of the Spirit of God so that we can be changed into His image. We have to see Him, who He is, right? Number one, the author of the scriptures. Number two, the beginning. We begin with Him. And now we have to have Him unveiled first so we can be changed into His image. So I am unveiling the Spirit of God. It's a new reality that you will live in if you receive it. Why? Because you're gonna be now in the earth walking with the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Say that to 90% of the Christians, it's gonna blow their mind. But that's the reality. Can you speak to the fact that that's the reality?
Yes.
That the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with Him. He's God in the earth today. We're unveiling that. And that must, He must be unveiled first for us to be changed into His image from glory to glory. How many of you know we're supposed to go from glory to glory? Yeah. And then finally to glory. That's the pattern. We go glory, glory, glory. But none of that happens, are you here? Until we have Him unveiled first. Because we're changed into His image. Every time He's revealed another thing of Himself, we're changed into that image. But first, we must have a solid grasp on first things. How many of you know most people don't have a solid grasp on the first things?
Yes.
They've grasped on all kinds of other things. What does the word say first? First, no, the scriptures are written by the Holy Ghost, the will of the Holy Ghost. He's revealing Himself. First, you begin with the Holy Ghost, right? Not some other place. Everybody wants to begin somewhere else. You begin when you start walking with the Holy Ghost. Right?
Yes.
According to the scriptures.
Right.
We've got to have a solid grasp on first things if we're going to go to second. Nobody gets to run straight to second. Do they?
No.
Now, some of the, you know, cameras and everybody else fell asleep for half a second. I suppose you could steal second. That's always fun to watch. So anyway, frankly, most people don't have a solid grasp on the things that I just went over. It's why I went over them again. Knowing this first, the scriptures, knowing that we begin, and knowing that the Spirit must be unveiled before we are changed. Now, when the veil is taken away, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty, and we're changed. Say, there is liberty.
There is liberty.
And we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see how it happens? It's not going to happen until He's revealed to be who He is. Right? Everybody thinks, oh, it's just a side issue. As long as you're saved and you go to heaven. That's not even the beginning. You didn't get saved without the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
If you really got saved, it was by a work of the Spirit of God. And you need to continue anyway. So now the Lord is that Spirit. Then if you have come to the understanding of the first things, say the first things,
the first things,
that now the Lord is the Spirit, you understand, then you have begun. You've begun and somebody else hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible? Yeah. For you to have begun something that other people have not begun? I guarantee it. So using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Why would anyone ever use those words? Because they've come to a revelation that the Holy Ghost is God. And if you knew Him as God, you would worship Him. And you have begun.
Mm-hmm.
See how this is much bigger than we've thought? Use of the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, first will take you to the beginning. Have you done this? I question sometimes. If you use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, it will take you to the beginning so that you can begin walking with Him. What did Paul say was the beginning? Having begun in the Spirit, or having begun with the Spirit. When you use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, He will take you to the beginning, and from there He will begin to reorder your mind. Reorder it. What is reordering it? He's renewing it. You ever hear the Bible talk of that? Your mind being renewed by the power of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now we get up to today's message. You're like, ah, finally. Just pray that I don't have to go over everything again next week. Yeah. Go to John chapter 14. But you'll see why I needed to do that when we go here. John chapter 14. Are you excited about it? You should be straight up excited about the fact that you live in this day and God is entrusting you with these words and this message, because you will be changed. What are you going to be changed from? One glory to the next glory, right? He never say from glory to something worse. No, it just gets better. And I'm excited about it. So John chapter 14, you find it? I'd ask you what we're going to read, but there's probably a lot of things written, underlined here. Anyway, so John chapter 14, and let's look at verse 12 so we can get through this real quick. John chapter 14, verse 12. You there?
Yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, red letters. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do. The works that I do, shall he do. Well, we kind of know what the works Jesus did, right? Because we have a good record of it. The works that I do, shall he do also. And what's the next word?
And.
No, I said and. What's the next word after and?
Greater.
Greater. And greater works than these shall he do. Are you here? Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
Now, everybody, any Christians I know, if you go, oh, and greater works, now go, yes, greater works. There's one of those waves that go through the congregation. Greater works, greater works, greater works. Everybody says, yay, greater works. Look at what he says here. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Are you here?
Yes.
So why will we be able to do greater works than Jesus? Because he went to the Father, right? And why did he look? Well, let's read down here. He said, because I go to the Father. And let's look down at verse 16 for time's sake. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So why are we able to do greater works? Because Jesus went and sent another. Say, Jesus went, and sent another. Did the another come?
Yes.
Then Jesus went. Right? Yes. If Jesus went, where is he? He is with the Father where he went. Then who's with you? The Holy Ghost is with you. It says, greater works that shall you do, because he goes to his Father, you'll be able to do greater works. I hope I'm getting this across. And then it goes, he says, because I go away. Then he'll pray the Father, he'll give you another. Then he says, down, okay, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Now, if he, the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of, is he the Spirit of truth? Mm-hmm. That's actually his name, one of his names. Jesus called him that. If he is the Spirit of truth, then all truth must originate with him. What about the scriptures? Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So the Spirit of truth wrote these words, and they are true. All truth originated with him. He's the Spirit of truth. Do you understand that? So there's no falsehood in him. He can't speak away from himself or anything but the truth, because he is the truth. Right? And the word says, and we won't go there, but 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God, it's God's will that all come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember that? Mm-hmm. To the knowledge, the revealing, the revealed knowledge of the truth. If I came to the revealed knowledge of the truth, who am I coming to the revealed knowledge of? The Holy Ghost. We're talking about unveiling the Holy Ghost. If I could peel back the skin of the scriptures, who would be looking out at me? The Holy Ghost. Kind of a weird graphic there. Let's look at down at verse 17. Keep going on here. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Who do you know? Holy Ghost. How are you going to do the greater works? By knowledge of him, knowing him, having him revealed to you, having him unveiled to you. Are you getting this? Revelation of the Holy Ghost, unveiling of the Holy Ghost. Now, he is not just hidden from the world, because it says that right here. You understand that, right? Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. So the world doesn't know him, and because they can't see him. Mm-hmm. Right? But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Right? Yes. He is not just hidden from the world, but he's hidden from religious people, and religious thinking has blinded their eyes. Those who don't accept, help me get this across, those who don't accept that Jesus left them. Remember, how do we get to this verse of scripture? Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works I do, shall he do also greater works than these shall he do. And everybody went, yay, greater works, because I go to the Father. And if they've got some religious ideas, some religious thinking that keeps them from letting Jesus go, they can't come to the full understanding, revelation of the Holy Ghost and who he is. Are you here? Yeah. Those who worship him know this. He's not just hidden from the world, but from religious people and they're thinking, who don't accept that Jesus went away. Now, that doesn't sound nice, does it? But it's true, and I'm going to show you a little bit about it right here as we go on. Are you all right with that? We're getting done. In verse 26, it says, but when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, oh, good, I'm glad he clarified that. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're not going to like the answer. Jesus couldn't teach them all things. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. They couldn't bear it now. He even said that often. So I have many things to say to you. You can't handle it now. Right?
Yes.
Jesus couldn't teach them all things. What did the Bible say that the Holy Ghost, who is the Comforter who is the Holy Ghost, what will he do? He will teach you all things. That means the beginning things and from glory to glory till the end things. We continue with him. It began with him, it ends with him. Are you here? All right. And we know that Jesus said, because he couldn't teach them all things, he said, it is more profitable for you if I what? Go away. We're profiting more now because Jesus is not here. But people who don't acknowledge the fact that he's not here can't profit by this which I'm saying. In fact, they don't want to hear what I'm saying. because they're part of those people that are blocked from it. Anyway, so are you here? Is this exciting yet? You're still here. So let's go to 1 John. Sometimes you have to say things that affect people in a certain way. You know, a lot of people call it kicking over a sacred cow. They have a sacred cow, well, it needs to be kicked over, right? 1 John 4. And if you've been around it long enough, you know that the things I'm saying are true. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4, and let's look at verse 4. You are of God, little children. Who would that be, by the way? It should just come up automatically. You are of God, little children. Who are you of? You're born of the Spirit, you're born of the Holy Ghost, right? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, talking about the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in you? The Holy Ghost. Who do most people think is in them? If you ask them this verse of scripture that automatically comes to their mind. Jesus. Greater is Jesus that's in me than he that's in the world. Are you here? If you have that kind of thinking, the things that I've been saying are going to go be like nails on a chalkboard. Mm-hmm. And you're unable to hear, and you won't be able to go on to the greater of works. That's right. Because you have to have the Holy Ghost unveiled to you, who is God in the earth today. So this is nothing new. Now you'd think it would be new, but it's not that new. The greater works will not come without the revelation and knowing the unveiling of him, the Holy Ghost, and who he is. Can you see that?
Yes.
Are you all right with that?
Yeah.
And then he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, if the one that's living in you is greater than your circumstances around you, what will that enable you to do? Overcome the world with greatness. Mm-hmm. His greatness. Right? I'm being changed into his image from glory to glory. Is this fun yet? Now, let's go to the first verse in chapter 4. This is not something new, this concept, and I want to show it to you right now. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know you the... What?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we have the Bible. Say the Bible.
The Bible.
Right? Written by the Spirit of God. Revealing himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
What does he say? He says, hereby know ye... What? The Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Are we supposed to know the Spirit of God?
Yes.
Jesus said we would know him. He'd be in us. He'd be with us. He said, say he'd be in us. And then he says, greater is he that's in you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Well, what does that mean? You mean there's some people that say that Jesus Christ isn't in the flesh, didn't come in the flesh? Yes, and it's been going on since day one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just share this real quick. Docetism. Docetism is a doctrine. It's what he's talking about. Let me just read it. Here, let me get this across. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets, right? So you've got, he's talking about people, that a situation he was dealing with in that day. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written this.
Right.
You understand? Many false prophets are gone out into the world, meaning they were there when John was there.
Mm-hmm.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Do you know that Jesus came in the flesh? He was born of the Virgin Mary. He had a physical body, and he went through all of his years, and he physically died on a physical cross. Right?
Yeah.
Spiritual things happened, yes, but he was a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he went through these things as a perfected man and bore your sins. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist or anti-anointing, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the earth. Are you here? Mm-hmm. So John was dealing with it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, for they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Now, this doctrine of docetism, I think I'm saying that right. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever heard of this? Or a Gnostic person? Mm-hmm. Gnosticism? These people is the doctrine that Jesus himself, his life and everything he did, seemed only to be human, but the reality was that it was an illusion, and he was a spirit that did it. He never came in the form of a man, but he was always in the form of a spirit, and he did all these things. Now remember them on the remember when they were on the boat, and the wind and the water and the waves were going, and they were all feared. Mm-hmm. Said they were feared, right? They were frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit walking on the water. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yeah.
So these people, the Gnostics and the Docetisms, they all believe that Jesus did not come in the flesh, but he was just a spirit, like an apparition or a spirit that looked, we couldn't tell the difference. But he was with them, he walked among them, he was just in that spiritual context. You see how that's against so many verses of scripture. We know that Jesus, physical Jesus, died and was raised again from the dead physically. Remember, we had Thomas, put your finger, mm-hmm. right? He said, don't touch me, I haven't gone to the Father yet. Didn't want him to touch his physical body. Say physical body.
Physical.
And then physical Jesus was raised from physical death and went physically up into a cloud and sat on the right hand of God. Physical.
Yeah.
It was a spiritual happening, but it was a physical Jesus. Who's going to return? Physical Jesus. What is everybody talking about with Jesus now? Religiously wrong, in my estimation. Spiritual Jesus doing spiritual things all the time in his spiritual manifest form. Are you here? Who's actually here in the earth?
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and physical Jesus, the actual Jesus, mm-hmm. is at the right hand of the Father and shall return. And he's not going to return until we get it straight, until we do what the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Are you, see, the Holy Ghost is excited and he likes this message, even though nobody else does. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see why it's such a big deal? Here he says it's the spirit of Antichrist, and whether they're saying the exact same thing or not, they're still talking about the same, they're going up against it wrong.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
We have some of the greatest I remember one guy, he loved this song. It was called Jesus in the House, and they all jump around, they go, Jesus in the house, Jesus is in the house, Jesus is in the house, Jesus, if Jesus is in the house, then he's returned and it's over, bubba.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a manifestation of the Spirit of God in the house, I'm good with that, but let's get it straight. We have to have the Holy Ghost unveiled first before we can move on and go from glory to glory. Are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I got that across. Gnostics are part of this Docetism group, hyper-spiritual in deny. In fact, all of it is to deny that Jesus came in the flesh, in the actual flesh, because they can't wrap their head around that. You can understand that. I can't wrap my head around being born of a virgin and being, you know, sinless. So they don't. They just say he was here as a spiritual entity. Do you understand? Why is it wrong? Because it continues in our day. It's misplacing Jesus, and also in lieu of that misplaces God, who is the Holy Ghost in the earth today. Are you here? Well, that was your Bible lesson for today. Go to Isaiah. I'll try to end here. Notice I said try. Hallelujah. Isaiah, I didn't tell you, chapter 11, Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Do you find it?
Yeah.
Isaiah 11. Let's look at verse 2. Isaiah 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest. Who shall rest? What is it? What are we talking about? The Holy Ghost talking, revealing something about Himself, even in the Old Testament? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. Right? In the spirit of wisdom, he goes around to name some names of who the Spirit of the Lord is. Are you here? The Spirit of the Lord, is he revealing himself? Can we know him as these things?
Yes.
Should we know him as these things?
Yes.
Jesus said you would know him, right? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, that would be power, right? The spirit of knowledge and what? The fear of the Lord. And we know that the fear, they have the same root word in worship. If you worship God, that is an extension of fearing the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here? Okay, verse 3. And shall make him of quick. Quick means what? Alive, right? He'll quicken, make it alive. He shall make him of quick understanding. How? In the fear of the Lord. How shall you be made of quick understanding? In worshiping the Holy Ghost. Why are you going to keep bringing it back to this? I'm pointing the finger back at the thing that will make the most corrections in your life is by worshiping the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today. Look, shall make him of quick understanding. Would you like to be of quick understanding in all of these things? The Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. In all of these things, he'll make you of quick understanding in or by the fear of the Lord. I don't think you're as excited about that as I was hoping you would be. How are you going to be made quick, made alive in understanding? Do you understand that? You will be made alive in understanding who the Spirit of the Lord is by worshiping the fear of the Lord, by worshiping the Lord. Are you getting this? So when I say I worship you, Holy Ghost, and I do it every day, I make sure those are the first words that come out of my mouth in the morning. I worship you, Holy Ghost. He quickens me in understanding him. Are you getting this? So then back in 2 Corinthians, we'll end with this. We sort of started there. 2 Corinthians. It's probably just because you've heard it so many times. You have to worship the Holy Ghost. You have to worship God. See, and if I say, well, you got to worship the Holy Ghost, you don't have a problem with that anymore. I'm expecting you to have a problem with it. But you don't have a problem with it anymore. But people do. Do you understand that? Because they got their worship somewhere else. But you'll be made of quick understanding in all of the things. Wisdom and counsel and might. Are these all good things? Yeah. How's it going to happen? We'll be made quick, we'd be made alive in understanding all of those things by worshiping the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 3, read it real quick one more time. Having said all of that stuff, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
Who wrote it? Is he writing about himself?
Yes.
He must be, because now the Lord is that Spirit. He just said that. And where the Spirit is Lord, or he could be saying, where I'm Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that? Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty, which means there's a kind of liberty that isn't there if people don't have him as Lord. Is that too difficult to understand? Maybe hard to understand, hard because you don't want to understand it. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, who? The glory of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, with him revealed. Right? The glory of the Lord are changed, metamorphosized into the same image from glory to glory. Now, this word glory, one of the things, it's like a shining or even a glimmer. You ever see a glimmer? I saw a glimmer once. You know what that is? Just a fleeting little thing. As you behold the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. You know when you do that the most is when you're worshiping him, right? He glimmers on you. You see a glimmer, and then you're changed into that same image. You go, my life is supposed to look like that. Are you here? Glimmer, from glimmer to glimmer, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation about who the Spirit of the Lord is. Holy Ghost, I ask you to quicken these people that have heard this message today. Let those words go deep into them and not come out until they've borne good fruit. Let the new glimmers and the new glories of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, begin to manifest in their life. I claim them in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.